Game on 2FM.
With Gillette. Great performances begin with a comfortable close shave from Gillette. Gillette, making men's lives just that little bit easier.
Game on 2FM.
Weekdays from 7.
I mentioned rugby. What a weekend. European quarterfinals in the Champions Cup. Saracens against Glasgow. Racing 92 against Toulouse. Leinster against Ulster. And it's Edinburgh against Munster. Ties to be played on the weekend of March the 29th to the 31st. It will be determined by television. Of course, a Champions Cup. Brilliant. Sale Sharks against Connacht. It means all four provinces, Donegal, have qualified for the knockout stages of their respective tournaments. One heck of a weekend for the Irish provinces, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, it's been incredible, John. Irish rugby's on a fantastic journey at the moment, but for all four provinces to make it to the quarterfinals of their respective tournaments was a brilliant achievement, especially given that especially in the case of Munster, Ulster and Connacht, they really had to fight to get over the line in the end. It was anticipated that Leinster would win against Wasps, and they did so with a really impressive performance. But overall, a brilliant weekend. Another brilliant weekend.
Indeed. Is there anything there to stop Leinster, do you think, at the moment?
There's a long way to go between now and the quarterfinals in the end of March. Racing haven't been as impressive in the last few weeks as they had been earlier in the season, but Saracens, I feel, are the real danger to Leinster in terms of retaining their crown. They won't meet, of course, until the final, given that they're on the opposite sides of the draw. But Saracens, after a lot of injury issues last year, they seem to be back to their best. But look, once you get to this stage of the tournament, it's going to be very competitive. Injuries, as we've seen already, are going to play a huge part. And, you look at Munster, Leinster, even Racing have a lot of players in the French squad. Saracens give a huge amount of their key players to the England squad. And these quarterfinals are going to take place just 2 weeks after the Six Nations, so it doesn't give a huge margin for error for any players carrying knocks. So a lot can change between now and then.
Indeed, yeah. What about Munster's performance? It was, I know, a team that they drew with initially in the first game in that pool, but they really had to dig out a performance to get a result, didn't they? I mean, did that impress you the way, I suppose it's Munster of old, isn't it? Kind of dig into the trenches kind of stuff, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. But look, this was always going to be a really difficult game. The problem for Munster is the way Exeter play, they're almost a carbon copy of Munster. They're really strong physically. They have a very good maul defensively. They're very well organised, and they're ruthless at the breakdown. You go back to the game in Sandy Park in the opening round, nothing between the sides. They end up finishing 10-all. So over the course of the two games, only 2 points separating them. But it was incredible, really, when you look at the stats of the game. I don't think Munster would ever have won a game in Thomond Park before with as little as 36% of possession, and even less in terms of territory. They were behind Exeter in all the key areas of metres gained, carries, defenders beaten. Yet they still came out on top. So look, that age-old fighting spirit was there. A couple of vital moments, that line-out steal from Billy Holland, just after coming onto the field. It looked, you could hear the groan in the crowd when Tadhg Byrne had to go off with that knee injury. And then Holland comes on and has this miraculous interception in the line-out, given that Exeter maul had been so strong. And, hats off to Joey Carberry. You go back to that game against Cast, a lot of focus was on him and the fact that he missed 3 kicks, but his performances since, 4 games, 20 kicks in a row, and that kick at the end wasn't easy by any manner of means. There was a swirling wind there, but he just looked so composed, and he delivered on the biggest stage.
Byrne, obviously, that injury you mentioned there, that's a knock-on effect for Ireland. He's out for the first 2 games, at least, in the Six Nations. Quinn Roo is in. There is one or two injury problems for Joe Smith, which we'll allude to in the second. But Ulster, just quick mention, they will be playing Leinster in the next round. I heard Morning Ireland this morning, Paddy Wallace saying he rates Ulster's chances. But with the strength and depth that Leinster have, do you think that's possible?
I think it's going to be a big ask for Ulster. I think when they looked, to be fair to Ulster, you look at it, like from all the trauma on and off the field of the last 12 months, they've come a long way in a very short space of time. I think they've won two games over the course of the last two weekends against Racine in Belfast, and you know 13-0 down against Leicester on Saturday, and they found a way to come back into it. I think last year they're probably games that they wouldn't have won. You know, it looked at one stage as if they were going to be playing Racine and Paris again, but Toulouse's effort in not killing themselves and getting the four tries, that would have given them an extra point, which keeps them in France to play against Racine in their quarterfinal, as opposed to having to play Leinster in Dublin. I think Ulster would be happier to play Leinster than having to travel to Paris to play Racine. So look, they'll be pleased with their draw. I agree with you. I think Leinster overall, they have so many strings to their bow. I mean, you look at the last try yesterday. You had Noel Reid at out half. Max Deegan in at number eight. Brilliant offload for him. And Rory O'Loughlin, the scoring pass to Reid. None of those players would be regular starters for Leinster, yet they concocted a superb try. And that's the problem with Leinster. It doesn't matter who's playing. There's a seamless game plan there. Everybody knows what's expected of them. So look, it's going to be a huge task for Ulster. But in terms of an away trip, having to go an hour and a half down the road to Dublin, I think will please them.
What about the tournament itself? Are Ireland as a nation perhaps too focused on this? You know, there's no Welsh sides there in the last eight of the competition. You know, do the French really fancy it? Where are you standing it?
Look, we're hearing all this nonsense out of England about the advantages that the Irish clubs have, but and the same at France. But those English and French clubs have massive squads. The bottom line is Exeter, I think, were unlucky not to go through. Saracens were back-to-back champions only 2 and 3 years ago. So, you know, it isn't as if you don't see French sides either rotating their squads. So, look, I just don't buy into that. There's no question from an Irish perspective. The European competition has always been the Holy Grail. Going back to Munster's quests in the late 90s, the early noughties, Leinster taking up the bat on Ulster, of course, were the first winners. So there's a history and tradition of the Irish provinces performing in Europe right from the outset. You know, I don't think there's a cyclical thing always with this. A couple of years ago, we didn't have the Irish teams involved. It was four from France and four from England at the quarterfinal stages, and everybody felt the Irish challenge was gone for good. But, you know, that hasn't proved to be the case, and I've no doubt in another year or two you'll see the French and the English as strong as ever. But the bottom line is Racine and Toulouse are going to be serious challengers for this year's tournament. And Saracens next to Leinster are joint favourites. So, you know, there's competition from all the main countries.
We can't let this go without talking about Connacht. Good day's work, said their head coach, ensuring the Challenge Cup quarterfinal against Sale Sharks in March. But to go to France and make it 2 out of 2 in this year, it's tremendous turnaround for Connacht, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I think, look, the only disappointing thing from a supporter's point of view is, you know, with the revamped television coverage, you always had the Challenge Cup games on before. There's now a select few on. You know, so Connacht have been doing some brilliant work in the Challenge Cup, but not all of those games have been televised. So, you know, it's a pity because they've been playing out of their skins. But they've been doing so, rotating their squad as well. And, you know, they've won in France now on two occasions, having had some of their academy lads involved. And that has to augur well for the future. It's a pity in some respects that their quarterfinal is with Sale, given that they played them twice already in the pool stages. And Sale have been playing really well in the Premiership in England. But like Connacht are now fighting on two fronts in the Pro 14 and in the Challenge Cup to try and regain their spot in the Champions Cup for next season.
They have bounced back very well, haven't they, under Andy Friend? I mean, they really have bounced back. They looked like a province in decline not so very long ago, Connacht.
Yeah, but look, I think, to be fair, when they won the Pro 12, as it was at the time, very soon after that, you had the announcement that Pat Lam, halfway through the season, was leaving to go to Bristol. that never, you know, it never helps when you know your coach is going to leave at the end of the season. The Kieran Kane appointment just didn't seem to work. But to be fair to Andy Friend, he's picked up the baton from Pat Lam, and all the work that he has done has been rekindled overnight. I mean, they've made that connection with the community. They are integrating more and more young players. The average age of their squad is quite young, and you know, players like Tom Farrell, who you know, was in the Championship in England only 12 or 18 months ago, has now been elevated to Joe Smith's national squad. I mean, Kieran Blade from Monavay, he got his chance with Kieran Marmion out, and he's now in the Irish squad. So look, there's a huge incentive there for players. Once you perform, once you're on the stage that Connacht are on now, then anything is possible. And it's great for Irish rugby to have all four provinces not only competing at the level they are in Europe, but all of them competing to the strength and depth of the national squad. And, you know, it's great, and long may it continue.
Yeah, and you mentioned the national squad there. Quinn Roo in for the Six Nations squad as a replacement for Tadhg Byrne. We mentioned that he's out for at least the opening two games. Ian Henderson's also been declared injured finger. He could be out for the whole of the Six Nations as well. So there's one or two injury problems for Joe Smith, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. But look, if you look, John, over the course of the weekend, all the national squads for the Six Nations were announced last week. I think Eddie Jones, Gregor Townsend, Joe Schmidt, they've all had to make additions to the squad because of injuries over the weekend. It's part and parcel of the modern game. I feel sorry for Tadhg Byrne because his form has been so good over the past 2 months that you'd feel he'd have to be in the Irish the match day squad, yeah, at least, especially now with doubts over Ian Henderson. Then Henderson obviously came back a week or two early. He was man of the match in the game against Leicester, but damaged his other thumb. So, you know, hugely unfortunate for him. I think it now guarantees that James Ryan and Devon Toner will start in the second row against England. And Ulton Dhillaal, who's done really well to get himself back in the national squad, he'll be fighting with Quinn Roo for that place on the bench. But thankfully, Tadhg Byrne's injury, it doesn't seem to be long term. They're talking about him being available for the third round of games in the Six Nations. So, you know, I'm quite sure Munster fans will be thrilled to see him back as soon as possible, such as the impact that he's made with Munster this season.
Yeah, I'm also hearing Tommy O'Donnell is an injury problem too, isn't he?
Yeah, Tommy O'Donnell is another one of those players who just hasn't had a break really in the past 2 or 3 years. Initially, I think they thought it was a stinger in the game, took him off for precautionary reasons, but there's now a concern that it may be more serious than that. So that's a massive blow for him, but it seems to be a sort of a revolving door at the moment. You get one player back, you lose another. I think the biggest plus for Joe Schmidt this weekend was the sight of Sean O'Brien getting through 55 minutes for Leinster, and not only that, but playing really well, and the fact that Robbie Henshaw had 62 minutes, given that neither O'Brien or Henshaw had played since, I think, going back to Argentina in November. So, you know, you lose swings and roundabouts. You lose some players, you gain others. So, but overall, the strength of that Irish squad is really strong. So, you know, I think we're in a good position. Just what is it? Less than 2 weeks out from that opening match against England.
Yeah, I mean, the full concentration has been on the provincial game for the last couple of months, leading into the end of the year and into the new year. Now, so they can put that to bed now and concentrate fully on what's going to be a massive year for Irish rugby, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Look, the Six Nations, obviously, it's a massive tournament in its own right. But in the background, you have the World Cup. It's in every player's mind, even though they don't want to admit it. But such is the competition within the Irish squad at the moment. There's only two places on that plane for the World Cup. So if you get an opportunity in the Six Nations, you have to grab it with both hands. I think it's going to be a fascinating Six Nations this year because England have a lot of the players that were injured last year back in their squad. Wales are ranked third in the world, even though their provincial sides never seem to perform in Europe. As a national squad, they're always there and thereabouts. And the fact that Ireland have to travel to Wales, that's going to be a huge game, particularly with Warren Gatland in his last season as Welsh coach. And Scotland, I mean, it's incredible. Their two district sides in the last eight in Europe, Gregor Townsend again doing a brilliant job there. So Scottish rugby is also on a high. So look, it's going to be, I think, one of the most competitive Six Nations in years, and really looking forward to it.
Yeah. Was Joe Smith right to make the announcement that he was going after the World Cup? Should he have left it till later, maybe?
I don't think so. I think he was right, because the speculation has been there now for some time, at least by doing it, you know, when he did in the immediate aftermath of the November series. It got it out of the way. You know, I was talking earlier about coaches leaving mid-season, you know, which never seems to work, but it's different at international level. Club level, you know, you're in there day after day. The players know that Joe Schmidt, the fact that he's leaving the Irish job after the World Cup, isn't going to impact one bit in terms of the work ethic or the effort that he's going to put into, you know, the quest to get Ireland into a first ever semi-final in that World Cup. So they know he's going to perform, so it's up to the players to perform as well. I don't think it'll have any bearing on performances.
That's the benchmark, though, isn't it? You know, Ireland have only got to the quarterfinals. It's get beyond that, isn't it? You know, there are talks about, you know, possibly winning
look,
it, but
we've had,
the first thing is get to the semi-final.
Three
yeah.
World Cups. Yeah, I mean, they've never got there in any... I think you look back to 2011 in New Zealand when we'd beaten Australia in the pool stages. Wales in the quarter final, and you know, I think that particular group of players, you talk to them now, and really, if they could rewind the clock, that's a game they'd love to play again. But that's the thing with the World Cup, it's all, you know, in the here and now. You have to perform when you get your opportunity, and you know, Ireland have a decent draw, but that said, either way, you're going to end up playing either New Zealand or South Africa in a quarter final. So that we've no divine right to think that we can turn up and just beat them. It doesn't happen like that. And you look at the improvements that Razi Erasmus has made in a very short space of time in South Africa. So it's going to be massively challenging. I think that'll be the biggest hurdle, you know, that quarter final tie. If you get beyond that, anything is possible.
So the setup for the World Cup is the Six Nations, and Ireland come through winners again, perhaps, of the Six Nations. It really will set them up for the World Cup, won't it?
Yeah, well, look, you know, I don't think to be the end of the world if Ireland lost a game in the Six Nations. But you go back to England in 2003, certainly the momentum that they gained by winning the Grand Slam that year. They went to New Zealand and Australia and won two tests down there in the June before the World Cup. And that momentum really carried them through to win, you know, two or three months later. Ireland don't have the luxury, and I think quite rightly, they're not going to be involved in a tour in June. So once the Six Nations is over, really all the focus then is on that World Cup. You only have the warm-up matches, four warm-up games in August and the first week of September before they go. But, you know, those games in themselves are always difficult. Are challenging for different reasons. Look, the Six Nations, that's the staging post now. And that opening game against England, an England side, Eddie Jones, is starting to fire a few bullets already, having another go off Johnny Sexton and his relationship with referees. I think we can expect more of that over the next 10 days.
Yeah, insightful stuff, as always. Don Lenihan, thanks for joining us.
Cheers, John.
Game on 2FM.
Weekdays from 7.